Good Wednesday to you. It's middle of the week. Some still call it hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Glad he's still on the payroll. He's actually, we had to cut down his pay, but that's, people know that across the world and around business these days. But he still has a job, as do all of us at the moment. Meanwhile, welcome into Focus. I'm Paul W. Smith. This is News Talk 760 WJR. We endeavor to bring you relentless positive radio, which sometimes is virtually impossible, but we still try to put lipstick on the pig. Now, you're on your way to making each and every day count, because you do know each day is a gift. God bless you for that. I know it too. What we don't know is what Kim reminded me of, and I think of every day. QTR, quality time remaining. We have no idea. So why not make the most out of life every day? And if you're not living the life you always thought you would, it's never too late to start doing that. I know it's hard. It's a tough job convincing yourself. I got to convince myself from time to time. I should have been the host of The Tonight Show after Johnny Carson. Oh, sorry, did that come out? It did. I do want to thank you for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. And I don't mean just listening to Focus from noon to two, which we appreciate very much. I would never say that against all our other talk shows and great programming. Whenever you listen to WJR, you are a part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. The team, the best. Mike Parsons, our executive producer. Danielle Mason running the switches. Some have called her the queen of the switches. And Rich Luzinski, who keeps an eye on our WJR traffic and weather first and does a nice job. Altogether, it's relentless, positive radio. I want to say, Mike, you and your lovely wife for her birthday, when you visited the Holland Tulip Festival, you should know that it has, in the USA Today, come in 8th place as a fabulous festival across the great country of ours. And when you consider the thousands of festivals they considered, the Tulip Festival in Holland coming in 8th place, and you were there.
Yes, well deserved, because it's not just the big attractions. You know, obviously the Windmill Garden Island is the main attraction. They do a fantastic job. But the whole city participates, from the city parks to there's even a number of neighborhoods where they line the streets with different types of tulips. It really is everybody who lives there pulls together. So good for them.
I loved it when we used to, a long time ago, broadcast from the Tulip Festival. And once, Kim and I were asked to be in the parade.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that means wearing wooden clogs. Is that what they call them? Clogs?
Yeah, clogs, yeah.
Those carved out wooden shoes. And the advice I got from people who had done it before said, wear 8 pairs of socks.
Yeah, it sounds like a good way to get blisters, splinters, plantar fasciitis, all that stuff.
It was not comfortable. But once we got through the parade, we realized something really bad. We had to walk back to where we started from.
Yeah, it's one thing if you're on a float just waving to people. It's the other. So I'm guessing it's like at least a mile route?
Yep. In wooden shoes. But I'm glad they asked us. It was an honor. We walked with maybe the governor or somebody like that. There were a lot of muckety mucks. Most of them didn't have to do the whole trip, and most of them were like delivered and then picked up and taken away.
You didn't have to navigate in those wooden clogs walking behind horses, did you?
That's a very good question, and I have a tendency to wipe horrific things out of my mind. That I don't remember. That would have been a horrific thing.
Following horses
in any parade, in any shoes. The only time I might have followed horses and it was okay was when I was Grand Marshal of America's Thanksgiving Parade. And we were riding, I'm going to say, in Mustangs. We may not have been behind horses. We were in horses.
Right.
Art Van Elslander and myself, it was an honor to be a co-grand marshal with the guy who saved the parade.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
I don't remember any horses causing us any trouble right in front of us, but we were riding in a car. All right, so for those of us who missed Tulip Time in Holland, It's not too late to plan to enjoy the Mackinac Island Lilac Festival because it came in fifth in the country.
All right.
For festivals. And that's coming up. And we're going up to Mackinac Island in a couple of weeks, but before the Lilac Festival. But the Mackinac Island Lilac Festival celebrates spring with a lilac parade on Sunday, June 14th at 4 p.m.
We'll just miss it.
I guess we will.
Yeah, a couple weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, by a you know, mid-month kind of a thing.
Yeah, we might be able to see the lilacs starting to come in.
Maybe. I'm just watching the president arriving in Beijing, and already they've stolen any information he's had on his cell phone
right.
or his laptop. It's already gone. It's being reviewed by Xi Jinping as we speak.
Right, but they're giving him a lavish welcome, so.
Yeah. I don't want to go backwards and forwards. We'll get to that. We are going to talk about China, maybe not as much today. Tomorrow, our time, all of the stuff happens, you know, that starts at least. But on television today, and, you know, I have to watch this stuff, there was what they're calling a CIA whistleblower on the origins of COVID, and he says the cover-ups handled by Dr. Fauci on the Wuhan lab that we all know it came from. What no one will say out loud but me is China's quest to use chemical warfare. That's why they were doing it. They didn't want it to escape because this gave away what they were doing, but they must have been very proud of the havoc they wreaked on the world and realized once they tweak this the way they want to, they're going to have a formidable weapon against the United States and against the world. They must feel that way. Because I'm telling you, that's why they were doing it. That's why China had that in the lab, Wuhan lab, and it got away from them. But
right.
They're trying to come up with chemical warfare that will defeat us all.
Right. So they weren't necessarily looking for it to get out the way it did, but they were looking for something like COVID. They could have weaponized it.
Right. Eventually, and believe me, they're still working on it. Mm-hmm. But the big question is, why would Fauci cover all that up? And why did they cover up? Do you know that we're talking thousands and thousands of people who died from the vaccination? At least according to this report, which the CIA has already come out and said, he's not a CIA whistleblower. I'm now questioning the CIA, which is under scrutiny for a lot of things. What is going on in our country? That's what I want to know. Well, by the way, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we'll get someone on about it tomorrow. You can really go. Because I think, is the hearing over or is it in recess right now?
I have no idea. I stopped watching.
But yeah, we'll get someone.
Fox stopped carrying it, but they do that a lot of times.
Yeah, we'll get someone to do a deep dive on it tomorrow. Because that's
I will tell you this. I couldn't believe this, but those who followed it, I didn't, Kim did. But now there's a new trial for Alex Murdaugh.
Yeah.
His conviction for killing his wife and son has been thrown out because of somebody messing with the jury, who should not have been. And he is still in jail, thank goodness, for his financial crimes. But now he gets another brand new trial on the murder of his wife and son.
Well, and if I remember correctly, someone on the witness stand essentially said that he felt emboldened to do these commit these murders within his family because he was A, so well connected, and B, so savvy with the law that even if he were convicted, he would find a way out of it.
Well, but the person who is being cited was a woman behind the scenes who was like the jury, in charge of the jury, not on the jury, but in charge of it. And she said, this is a big day because Alex Murdaugh is going to speak himself. So you should really not to pay attention too much to what he says, but look at his body language. And she was like coaching the jury.
Oh, really?
In a way you're not supposed to do.
Right.
But that's what she was doing. And that's apparently why this retrial is happening. By the way, this whole hearing on the Wuhan lab and all the things that you and I knew and we talked about, do you know not one Democrat showed up for the hearing?
Really? No, I
didn't. Why would they do that? Not one Democrat. It only makes it look like they don't want to hear the truth or hear the potential truth of what took place. Why would that be?
Yeah.
Because they're afraid it's going to show that the Democrats who were in power then hid things from the American people and might be held accountable for all the deaths, the way we kept kids out of school and ruined portions of their lives, the way we had loved ones dying and we weren't allowed to be alongside them as they were dying. I mean, it's horrific if any of this is true. And we already know the Wuhan lab thing is true. And I'm telling you, they were doing that to come up with chemical warfare, which they're still trying to do. I pray for our president and his safety. And for all of those business people, I mean, that's the who's who of America. And if China decided now's the time because they think, well, most Americans don't like this president, they'll think we're doing them a favor. I mean, imagine how crazy things could get. Ways that I never thought they could. But now, I wouldn't bet against anything at all. Anything else, guys? Ready to go?
Ready to go. Our loins are girded here for the next 2 hours.
Our ankles are taped, and we're underway with Focus with Paul W. Smith. Relentless positive radio to the best of our ability, right here on WJR. Ready, following along on our program schedule, we do. You still send that out to everybody, don't you, Mike? Send out a program schedule to the audience.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Paul?
You do send out a program schedule to the entire audience, don't you?
I do not.
Oh, gee. Okay, I thought everybody had listening had a program schedule. Okay, it's like Ernie Harwell's seat map at Tigers games when a foul ball went out, and he'd say, oh, a man from Medford caught that one.
Right.
And people would come up to me and say, how did he know? And I said, well, he has a massive Tiger Stadium seat chart. So that was in the same line of that kind of thinking. We have David Coulter with us, Oakland County Executive Extraordinaire, here to talk about having his hands full, but doing something about it. In fact, in record time, the Oakland County residents are one step closer to letting their faucets flow. There are some restrictions and things to know. And as the Oakland County executive, you've got your hands full once things are fixed. You really have to get to work on figuring out what happened and who's going to pay for it. David, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to talk to you as well, Paul. And yeah, it's been quite a week.
It's been 4 days of water restriction since the main break. Now, the new pipe was installed faster than anyone thought that it could be. It's being tested. More work needs to be done. What do residents right now at 12:24 on this Wednesday, May 13th, need to know about dealing with their water?
Yeah, they need to know that the boil water advisory is still on, but the repair was made, and you, as you mentioned, quicker than we thought it could get done. The good folks at the Great Lakes Water Authority have been working on this around the clock, and not just since the main broke, but when it started leaking about 10 days ago. So they have been on this, and they're doing a fantastic job. And it does look like we're ahead of schedule. They originally said it could be 2 weeks. So the good news is we don't think it's going to be that far along. And we're hopeful that if this repair holds and nothing else ruptures, and you know, in this world, anything can happen. But if this holds, we've got 2 days of testing the water to make sure there's no bacteria and that sort of thing. And then possibly by this weekend, we can lift the boil water advisory, and it will be back to normal within a week.
Well, and I'm not kidding with Oakland County Executive David Coulter. Executive Coulter, I'm not kidding when I said once everything's back to quote-unquote normal and people are drawing their water the way they should be able to, then your work really begins, because you're going to probably have to be involved in any kind of effort to have somebody make this right, unless you're telling me that the people who laid that pipe, which was supposed to last 100 years, and it only lasts half that time, somebody's got to make up for this. There's got to be some accountability, but I'm not sure how that works.
Well, I'm just a common sense guy, and one of the first questions I asked when I heard that number was, hey, can we, you know, is there a warranty on this? Can we sue the manufacturer of the pipe? Turns out they're out of business. Maybe they for making bad pipes. I don't know. But they're out of business. So there's no company to get reimbursed from. But the good news is, and for local community budget, the governor, as soon as I asked her to declare an emergency here, she did it later that same day, expedited it. And what that does then is get the official federal and state processes going to do reimbursements. They'll go through all the receipts and see what is coverable and what is not. So I am confident that with that action on her part, we will get the resources we need. And then the other thing, Paul, is I was just in our water warehouse this morning. We have distributed over 1 million bottles of water so far, and most of it donated by the incredible generosity of companies across the state of Michigan. So, you know, the silver lining in stuff like this is when people just come together to say, how can I help? And so people who sell water, they've been dropping it off at our warehouse all day for the last week.
Well, God bless them for that. I mean, that's wonderful news to hear. I'm not surprised because I've watched water companies in the past who have stepped up when things have gone awry, and I appreciate that. And I most notably, of course, our friends at Absopure in the past, all over the state. Meanwhile, you make good sense. And as I thought about this, I thought, well, wait a minute. If this pipe had lasted 50 years, what company has lasted 50 years? And since the pipe company didn't advertise on WJR, where we have plenty of companies that last 50 years because they advertise on WJR, I'm thinking they probably aren't around anymore. But I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. Maybe, as you said, they might have gone out of business for selling pipe that doesn't live up to what they said it would do.
Yeah, yeah. They I mean, maybe I'm not trying to be snarky about that.
No,
but
I know.
They're not here 50 years later, and that's going to be the biggest cost. And we're not going to get all that back from the state. And so, you know, the worst part is that down the line, down the main, ratepayers are eventually probably going to see another nickel or dime in their water bills to help. You know, this is why reinvesting in our infrastructure is so important. Not that this was an old piece of infrastructure, but, you know, people don't like their water bills, but a piece of that is money to help maintain the infrastructure. And that, you know, that's ultimately how the biggest part of this is going to get paid for, unfortunately.
Do we use different material? Or we're not going to, like, do the same thing and expect a different result so that people 50 years from now, though I'll still be on the air, there are a lot of people that won't be around. So I'm just wondering... Are we using different?
See, you and I, we got common sense. We had a break in Novi and Farmington Hills a few months ago, which you may remember, and it was the same type of pipe, same manufacturer, same material. So I've asked the question to the folks at GLEWA and others. I assume we're not buying that again. And they said, well, I haven't made a final determination, but yeah, we're going to reevaluate the material in the pipe.
God bless you. How's everything else going since I had a wonderful conversation? Kim and I had a wonderful conversation with you not too long ago. How's everything else in Oakland County?
We did. You know, it's going well, Paul. You know, spring is coming and the parks are opening. And this is the first year, by the way, since you asked, that all of our county parks, and we have over a dozen beautiful county parks, are now free for all residents all the time. And so I want to make sure people know that they don't need a permit anymore to go to the county parks. They can go there for free. We know how expensive everything is, and so that's one of our ways we're trying to make things a little less costly.
Well, that's wonderful news to end on. All parks free and open for all residents. That's great news. Oakland County Executive, the bearer of such great news, David Coulter, and good luck with the investigation on the pipe and everything else, and thanks for keeping us updated on when folks will be able to return to using their water without having to boil it, et cetera, et cetera. We'll be listening in for that throughout the day on WJR. Thank you, David.
Thank you, sir.
We continue in focus on WJR at 12:31. Always a pleasure to welcome Nolan Findlay, the editorial page editor for the Detroit News, co-author of The Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide. Nolan joined his friend, Stephen Henderson, with Lynn Golodner, and it's a must-read book. Nolan, we just had Stephen on, I think it was yesterday, and I asked him, you know, it's very unusual. You guys are at, I think, pretty much polar opposite ends of the spectrum in politics. And I asked him how important bourbon might be in bringing you two together. But I forgot to ask him if up at the Mackinac Policy Conference that we're getting very excited about broadcasting from, are you guys going to have a bourbon tent again?
Oh, yeah, Thursday night, Thursday evening, I think about 6 o'clock, the pours will start.
That's
why
I keep
missing it. And
you don't
have to listen to a lot of yakking. You can just come and have a drink, say hello.
I keep missing that because I leave Thursday afternoon. That's why I'm missing it. By the way.
Well, stay an extra night, Paul. You can bunk in with me.
It's easy to say. All right, I'll throw that up and see if that'll work. I'll see if it sticks to the wall and if it can happen. But the Sandy Baruja event is world-class, nothing like it, and we wouldn't miss it. And WJR will be there in force, as we always are.
That's the Detroit News. But I got to tell you something, Paul.
Yes, sir.
I was scheduled to be on here at 12:15, and I got busy, forgot to set on a reminder. My phone was off, and I was just working away. I looked up and saw your son Adam walk by, and I thought, shoot, I'm supposed to be on Paul's program.
And well, that's nice to hear.
Right in.
I'm glad he showed up at work.
I'm glad he did too.
I should point out, Adam does not work for the Detroit News. I love the Detroit News because I work at the Detroit News, as does Nolan Findlay and all the people we have on. But Adam has his own job that he's had for quite some time, and they're in a shared office area. And actually, Mike Parsons said to me that Nolan just said if he hadn't seen Adam walking by, he would have forgotten he was on the show. So I'm glad that worked out. I'm glad that worked out. I'll have to tell him that. Meanwhile, the president arrives in China, which is one of those very bizarre things, because while he's there in China, there are hearings underway with a so-called CIA whistleblower on the COVID origins and the deaths related to the vaccine, all these things that were covered up by Dr. Fauci mostly, but also the proof that this all happened at the Wuhan lab. And I'll say it, you don't have to. This is a part of China's quest to find and use chemical warfare eventually against us. What was shocking to me, what's shocking is there's not one Democrat at this hearing. What's going on with that?
Well, I mean, partisanship rules in Washington, and the closer we get to the election, the less you'll see them working together and collaborating. It's one of the reasons I'm sort of interested in the theme of this year's Mackinac Conference, which is Quest for Unity. And I think Steve and I are going to have a column on that a week from Sunday about how important it is for business to have a civil community to operate in. It's good for the economy. It's good for business. And we have too little of it today.
Well, the president came out on a red carpet with students surrounding him, and I think they were carrying Chinese and American flags. And, of course, in their pockets were pieces of equipment that would read anything electronic the president had on his body or the people surrounding him.
Probably download his brain, too.
They probably have the ability to do that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. This is serious business.
It's
a bizarre time for this hearing to be going on, because what if they – well, no one – you're right. It's no one's going to break news, and president's not going to say to Xi, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that, and leave. And he's got –
it's theater.
Yeah, it is. And he has some of the most prominent U.S. executives from big tech and other even agriculture that are with him. I mean, we hear about Elon Musk and Tim Cook, but there are many, many other people that are going to be there. And this answered the question. I wondered if they were all on Air Force One, because it's a big, big plane. But I think they all got there on their own, didn't they?
Well, they're all well equipped with jets, but I'm sure there were some of them on Air Force One. But, you know, this is an important meeting. It's important for the economy, and it's important for, you know, international relations. China and the United States are codependent, whether we like it or not, and we're going to stay that way. And the Chinese economy is hurting, And for those who have portrayed this as Trump going to China on bended knee, I don't think that's hardly the case. The Chinese economy is in deep trouble, and it needs American commerce with America. It needs American dollars flowing into their coffers. And so we've got a lot of differences, but we've got a lot of things we count on each other for. And mending that relationship and making sure it doesn't become something unsavory is very important. So I'm glad Trump is there. I'm glad the business people are there.
Hard to meet with somebody when they continue and have for years, as we've blown the whistle on after broadcasting from China, maybe four or five times, the intellectual property theft that they continue to participate in. And it's not like the government looking at it and looking the other way and wink, wink. The government is involved with it. They're behind the intellectual property stealing. And I don't know how he's going to sit there and look the other way.
We can, but we can't, we've got to, that's why we've got to establish a means of conversing with each other and a platform for settling these issues. They're not good actors when it comes to trade. And, you know, they've got fleets of Chinese-made vehicles out there that sooner or later the American public is going to be clamoring for because they're so cheap and American cars are so expensive. I mean, I think you're going to have a Walmart effect where people, trying to cope with the cost of living turn to Walmart and other discount retailers and their Chinese goods to make their budget balance. And I think you're going to see that come to the auto industry. And the automakers can't count on protectionism forever. They're going to have to start addressing the cost of the cars and their seemingly inability to put affordable cars in dealerships.
That's going to make for some pretty uncomfortable times here in the great city of Detroit. Appreciate your work always. Look forward to seeing you up on the island, if not before, Nolan. And when you see Adam, thank him.
I'll do it. Okay. I'll do it. He's very useful.
I'm very proud of that boy. Nolan Findlay, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Real quick, wildlife officials keeping a close eye on an unusual development in southeast Michigan. Two reported black bear sightings in areas where they're rarely seen. Here's Marie Osborne with the very latest. Marie?
According to the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, reports came in this week near Carlton and Flat Rock and Rockwood, the communities there. They confirmed that these could be some of the southernmost appearances of black bears in the region. Authorities say the animal might be a young male roaming beyond his usual habitat, a pattern that can happen this time of year. All this causing quite a stir on social media, by the way. Several people reported seeing this animal. At least one resident captured pictures and paw prints even overnight in Carlton. And yes, the bears are hungry. Officials are reminding residents black bears have powerful sense of smell, remarkable memory. It's strong enough to remember and detect food from up to a mile away. Yow. And then they come back to the same location sometimes years later. So that means everything should be sealed up, your garbage cans, take down your bird feeders for a while, any kind of human-related food sources, they need to be put away until the behavior can change for the bear.
Don't let your little dogs out or any dogs out or cats, and watch your kids, and for that matter, watch yourself.
Yeah,
these are bears.
Yeah, so if you encounter the bear, safety says you need to stay calm. You remain still if you're noticed. You can slowly back away. Do not run. That is not encouraged. That can trigger the chase response.
What's happening to my Monroe County? First an earthquake and now a bear.
It's
pretty unusual.
Exciting
I'm not joking.
Times.
I'm just saying it's pretty unusual. I'm glad you're giving the latest on that and a heads up to everyone. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
We were running out of time there, but we got her in, and we appreciate that. Lots more coming your way in this middle-of-the-week Wednesday edition of Focus with Paul W. Smith, including Andy Arena, director of the Detroit Crime Commission. There's a lot going on, talking about China and the president there, talking about the CIA and other things that matter to all of us, right here on WJR. Stay with us. Hour number two on this Wednesday. Nice to be with you. Nice to be with the team, the team, the team. Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski with our goal together of presenting as much relentless positive radio we can while you're on your way to making each and every day count, because you know, too, that each day is a gift. We just sometimes need a reminder of that. And I do want to thank you for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. That happens when you tune in to 760 W. Man, there's a lot going on in the news. There are these hearings, these so-called CIA whistleblower hearings on the COVID origins and deaths related to the vaccine, which is very disheartening, I guess. And they're just proving that Dr. Fauci was totally in charge of the cover-up. They know now what we all said, that it was happening from the Wuhan lab. That's where it came from. I'll add to that, that's in China's quest to come up with great chemical warfare to use on us eventually, because they want to dominate and unseat us. And that's just, I mean, sorry, it doesn't go over well with people, but it's the truth. If somebody can prove it otherwise, then I'll listen to what they have to say. But none of their actions, intellectual property being stolen by the government for all this time and everything else that's going on, there's no one that has so far been able to prove to me that what I'm concerned about, what I'm talking about, is not true. Now, we have some experts and some that we haven't talked to in a long while that feel differently than I do, and I like having those people on. We have everyone on, people I agree with, people I don't agree with. I always try to treat them well. Tom Watkins is a big believer in China. He's been there way more than I have been. My three, four, five, whatever it's been, I've been there. But he's been there way more than that. And he's the guy always said to us, what happens in China doesn't stay in China. That's the truth. But I don't think he'll accept my feeling that China won't be happy until we're out of the picture.
And we'll have Tom on Friday to do kind of a wrap up with us. So,
like, you already have that booked?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Otherwise, let's see, a new trial for Alex Murdoch for killing his wife and son. Somebody was tampering with the jury. He is thankfully still in jail for all of his financial crimes, but he kept saying he did not kill his wife and son. I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Like I said, I feel like this guy, he manipulated the judicial system that he knows really well until he found some kind of loophole that he could exploit. And he was lucky to find this woman who was trying to bias the jury against him. So I don't know. I don't know what this means. But like I said, during the trial, there were people on the witness stand who said that he felt emboldened to commit these murders against his wife and I think one of his sons. And I don't know if it's allegedly anymore because he's convicted, but was overturned. So I don't know what the terminology is, but they said,
yeah, I don't know what you say now at this point.
He felt emboldened to do that because of his connections and his knowledge of the judicial system and the state laws in, I don't know if it's North or South Carolina. So if that's true, that almost sounds prophetic.
We'll talk to Andy Arena coming up in just a moment. We'll ask him about that and some other things. And then our good friend Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist for the Detroit Free Press, And, you know, we're all getting that ridiculous, stupid, oh, right. Can't say stupid. What do I say?
The
Bozo announcement that...
very good. Kim will be very proud of you, Paul.
The Bozo announcement that we haven't paid our tolls. I don't have any tolls to pay.
Right.
You know, when you cross that big bridge, what bridge? I don't even... I see the Mackinac Bridge. Anyway.
Well, it's funny, Paul, because we used to just get a text, and now we're getting this mocked up screenshot of some fake ticket.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's they go to great ends. But then I know one of the things she's going to talk about is the some of the I guess there's a scam out there saying we're owed a refund from the IRS from COVID era penalties if you act soon. But what do I have here but a newspaper story from USA Today that says millions may be owed a refund from COVID area.
Yeah, so I think that's legitimate. And that's why we love having Susan Tompor on, because she can tell us what's real and what's not. And
thank goodness.
She does very, very important work.
We can't tell anymore. We just can't. For us, you know, around the station here, we've decided that certain things we get, we just discount them
right
out of whole cloth because we don't want to get in trouble. And this has been a problem because when we get a message supposedly from the company saying you should open this right away, we don't anymore.
Yeah.
And so if they do send us something we have to open right away, we don't open it because we're scared to death.
Right. And then our bosses have to get on and tell us, you haven't done this yet. Don't worry. It's from the real comp. So it just makes a lot of extra work for everybody.
There's so much work behind the scenes that has nothing to do with us doing our job well. Anyway, this is a terrible story. But one must advocate for oneself in all things, but especially in medicine. Here's an Oregon family. They have filed a $100 million lawsuit alleging that their 18-year-old son died from an infection after doctors at a Corvallis hospital did not remove pine needles and debris from his wound before stitching it up.
Oh, my.
This young man was initially examined by an emergency room doctor at Good Samaritan Regional Medical Center who sutured his wound tightly after attempting to irrigate it with saline. Despite experiencing pain, swelling, and fever after the Cantrell's condition worsened over the next few days, leading to his arm swelling significantly and leaking fluid, doctors at the hospital eventually removed over 12 pieces of organic plant matter, including twigs, pine needles, and moss from his wound, confirming a bacterial infection. He was transferred to Oregon Health and Science University Hospital, where he underwent multiple surgeries, including amputation of his arm up to his shoulder. But he ultimately died.
Wow, what an...
From a necrotizing soft tissue infection. I mean, what a simple procedure.
What an oversight. Yeah, how do you miss that when you're cleaning a wound?
I don't know. But it can happen, and it's why nobody should go to the hospital alone.
Right.
Somebody always, if at all possible, has to have somebody looking out for them, an advocate, for God's sakes. I just,
yeah,
this Jeez, is just oh, too much, it's, too yeah,
it's,
much.
It's unbelievable.
Here's a quick story. I don't remember ever sampling a fruit or a vegetable in a grocery store when I was shopping. Either of you, and let me ask you, Danielle, have you ever seen a bag of grapes reached in and eaten one to make sure they're good?
No.
I wouldn't even think of it. Have you, Michael?
I feel like I did when I was a kid.
Well, this doesn't count when you're a kid.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't eat fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, that's too healthy, I know. You're going to, one day, I can't eat dairy, so I'm not going to eat that blueberry.
Right.
What?
It's
but
too
here's
spicy.
The story, USA Today, think twice before eating a grape at the grocery store. It got me to thinking, how many people do that? Apparently enough people for them to write a story about it. And they say, does Publix, which we don't have a Publix around here. They're
I
like
wish.
In Florida.
I love Publix.
Ah, they're great. They say, does Publix mind if you eat a few grapes? Now it says, if a customer would like to sample an item, we invite them to ask for the produce manager. or assistant produce manager, and they'll be happy to assist. Is sampling produce illegal? Can you get arrested or fined for swiping a grape? Only if you're creating a nuisance or downing half the bag. But is it a good idea to eat grapes or other produce while shopping? There are several good reasons not to snarf down produce in the store that isn't set out for that purpose. Even if you plan to buy it, first of all, it's theft, it's poor etiquette, it's bad hygiene, it can be a health risk. They're not washing those vegetables before you do, or those fruits.
Right, you're going to get the bug spray or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Now, the other question I have is, you know, I don't do social media, and I'm getting lambasted for that more and more, but I do the Instagram, Paul W. Smitsta, and I still see these advertisements for sprays to wash your fruits and vegetables when you get them home. Does anybody know if we really need to do that or if rinsing them underwater like we usually do is good enough? Does anyone know? I don't know.
As far as I know, rinsing them is the tried and true method, but I'm sure the ad will tell you why that's a no-no and you should use their spray.
Oh, yeah, they come up with, well, hundreds of people have touched those fruits and vegetables before you got them home and all this other stuff that scares the heck out of you, and it makes me become like you and just not get the fruits and vegetables. I don't know. We'll see. All right, we're underway. We have the great Andy Arena, director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former special agent in charge of the FBI Detroit office, coming up as this story is just ridiculous. The California mayor steps down after pleading guilty to being a foreign agent for China, which, by the way, is not illegal if she had and registered as a foreign agent. They're still not getting around being a spy, which she clearly is and was, and is just one of thousands of Chinese spies in America. And so I said at the time, well, I hope we have thousands of American spies in China. We can't, because China doesn't let people in the way we let people in. And it's very hard to mix in as an American in China. But Chinese people mix in with Americans because we are this wonderful open place where we invite everyone in. Well, we're going to talk to Andy Arena. Coming up next, Focus on WJR. Well, I take great comfort in bringing my next guest on. We've come to rely on him for a long time, Andy Arena. He is the director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former special agent in charge of the FBI Detroit office. And one of the things we want to talk about is this California mayor stepping down after pleading guilty to being a foreign agent for China. Let me explain. Being a foreign agent for China is legal in this country, but you have to register. You have to let people know. They're not even touching the spying that she clearly has been doing on behalf of China. Be that as it may, Andy, I need to get some positive feelings from you, because right now I'm worried about the CIA, the FBI, and the Secret Service. These are entities that 20 years ago I never worried about.
Yeah, Paul, you know, I'm not shocked by this. I mean, this has been going on. Look, the Chinese are masters at this. It's a relentless drumbeat. They are spying on us. They are trying to shape the vision that we have of them. It's a continuous thing. So you're looking at, you know, continual cyber attacks, boots on the ground. You know, the interesting thing about this individual, you know, and I was talking to somebody earlier and said, well, it kind of sounds like the old movie with Frank Sinatra, the Manchurian Candidate, like they're putting people on the ground here. And, you know, what they were using this person for was to kind of shape the message, right? So she's out there, she's posting things on the internet, on this website to really change the vision of what we have of the Chinese government. And so, and it's interesting, Paul, is it looks like she stopped doing this when she became an elected official. Now, she may have stopped posting that stuff, but I'm sure her views of her support of the Chinese government didn't change, right? But they're smart enough to kind of put it a little bit underground. But, you know, I wish I could assure you, but it's just, hey, look, this is a constant drumbeat. The Chinese are not our friends. They are continually trying to get information, hack systems, whatever. And it's going to continue.
They've been openly stealing our intellectual property for as long as I can remember. We talked about it after we visited China the very first time and did our broadcast. You would see a Chevrolet Impala that they had purchased and then torn apart and completely recreated it and called it something else. And they did it not under the wink, wink nod of the government. The government was involved in that stealing of intellectual property. They were the Ping golf clubs. The number of things they made illegally stealing our intellectual property was mind-blowing. So here we have, when I first said this and saw this, from the I shot from the lip and I said, well, they've got thousands of spies in America. Here's hoping we have thousands of American spies in China. And then I realized, Andy, they've never let us into China the way we let Chinese people or anyone else. We welcome them when they come in legally, and they can do this. We can't do that. We Americans can't blend in with the Chinese. We're every time I've been there, and anyone I know who's been there, we're under scrutiny immediately. They steal any information on our computer phones, and they follow us everywhere we go.
Yeah, it's a different type of spying. I mean, believe me, everybody's spying on everybody, Paul. But it's a different type of spying. We're holding our own, but yeah, I think our society makes it a little more easier for them.
So what do you think about the CIA being so upset with these hearings today, the so-called CIA whistleblower on the origins, if you will, of COVID and deaths related to the vaccine? Why would CIA be against that?
Yeah, I really wasn't following it. I've been kind of busy today, but I'm going to certainly take a look at it this afternoon. But, you know, hey, listen, I work with the CIA. They get upset about a lot of different things, Paul. I'm sure I've personally upset them a few times myself. So they're a different breed.
All right. And frankly, Secret Service failures are just unbelievable. Back when 1984, when I was with the Secret Service for about 8 hours with the detail with President Reagan, they were sharp, man. They were so sharp. I don't think they would have let any of this stuff happen, including not having guys with the machine guns in the stairwells. And such a relaxed guy standing there at the final line before you get through to get down the stairs to go in there and kill people. He was like, he wasn't paying attention. You could have heard the guy running the way he was running. He should have been able to tackle the guy. And the last thing is, in two different events against the president, the FBI, or no, the Secret Service fired 11 shots and never hit anybody.
Yeah, listen, you've got three incidents in the last 2 years. That's three too many, right? So I'm hoping, I'm pretty sure that they're kind of redoing their system here and looking at how they're handling these. At least I'm pretty hopeful that they are. But, yeah, that's three too many. It just can't happen.
Andy Arena, director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former special charge of the FBI Detroit office. We thank you always for your expertise, Andy. Thank you, sir.
All right, Paul. Have a good day.
You do the same. I'm doing my best. I'm trying to bring our listeners relentless positive radio under sometimes tough conditions. It is 1:30 at 760 WJR. And it's a pleasure to welcome her back. It's been a while. She is a personal finance columnist for the Detroit Free Press. You see her work in USA Today often as well. Susan, welcome back. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Before we get any further, go Pistons.
Go Pistons is right. God bless you for that. Here's hoping that the Pistons that were here in Detroit for the first two games are the same Pistons that are here in Detroit for the next games. That's what we're hoping. Meanwhile,
oh, they will be.
I love the confidence. Good for you. Couple of columns you've had. One, Michigan drivers hit again by texts for unpaid tolls. And also one that says you could be owed an IRS refund from COVID-era penalties. Let's start with that one on the COVID-era penalties, because here in USA Today is a headline that says millions may be owed a refund from the COVID era. Now, did this writer, Medora Lee, fall into the trap of wrong information, or is this somebody trying to take advantage of real information and not doing it the legal right way? I'm confused.
Oh, I think she's going based off some of the information we were receiving early on. It is going to be tens of millions of people, but whether they'll actually claim it or not, or figure out how to claim it, I think that's what's going to be debatable here. And also, this is a legal case that's possibly up for appeal. so people may not get any money at all. The key point to remember is we have a July 10th deadline. You need to file a tax form. There's some complex information that's given in my column and also several blogs by the National Taxpayer Advocate. And this form 843 has to be filed by July 10th. And what you're looking at is a possibility of getting money back or interest and penalties paid during the COVID period, which goes essentially through July 10th, 2023. And it's, you know, it's a rat's nest here of detail and information. But if you can go through it, and I think people can, given some of the information that's out there, you can file what they call a preemptive claim, if you will. And then if this case goes in the favor of the taxpayers, they'll get refunds at some point. But it is a long mess.
But is this also something that the scammers are keying in on before this is all settled?
I think they will. I think the scammers are going to focus on this, too, because unfortunately, when you have a complex tax form, there's always somebody that seems to be willing to help you for a fee or to steal your ID information or anything like that. So you have to be extra careful that you're not falling into some trap. And you don't want probably to pay your tax professional, because until you figure out what kind of a size of a refund you're looking at, you know, if you only paid $100 in penalties, you don't want to pay $250 to a tax professional to file a form. So you do want to get some of this information early on. You want to look at your account transcript, and we give some details on how to find that on irs.gov. And that way you can look at the transcript and see if you paid penalties and interest during that time period. Also, if you didn't file a tax return during that time period, you have some more opportunities to do that here as well. It's very complex.
Quick reminder. Very complex. Have turnpikes or toll roads. Now, of course, payment is collected at some bridges. Could be a speeding infraction, you know, cameras are everywhere. Could be unpaid tolls or unpaid parking tickets. They're all scams, so don't just immediately blindly follow them. In fact, Michigan State Police says, first of all, the courts and or the police are never going to send you a fine notice by text or phone call. And if you get one of these text messages, do not click on any of the links. Just delete it. I guess, would you add more to that?
I think the one thing that's important to understand is the scammers are really working these imposter scams pretty heavily. $3.5 billion was lost last year to imposter scams.
Wow.
And a lot of that money, a lot of the increase is based on these bogus toll scams, EasyPass. You know, they're impersonating everyone here. It's very easy to get caught because you're busy, right? And you just got a text and somebody's threatening you with an enforcement notice or a court date. But step back, don't do it.
And Susan, as you would tell us and have in your columns, don't scan any QR codes included in any texts that are potentially fake texts. They can say they're from the state of Michigan, the District Court of Wayne County, Traffic Division, whatever they say. It's just a shame that there are people out there taking advantage of many people. And I just don't think that when they're caught, that at this point, the punishment nearly fits the crime. I think it should be as severe as you might guess when there are people using the internet to take advantage of people, period. End of story. Susan Tompor, what are you working on today? Anything you can tell us ahead of time?
No, not usually ahead of time, but we're going to be looking at maybe some job scams down the road. That's another one you've got to be extra careful with during graduation season. And you know, as some of the companies do some layoffs, people are going to be looking for jobs.
Job scams.
Yeah, exactly. Not, you know, not that your job is a scam or mine. No, these are scams that the scammers are putting out there, offering great deals and great wages and great ways to steal your
money. I've had several job offers online. We've looked at your profile, and you're just exactly who we're looking for. I get those all the time.
Exactly, exactly. And people can fall for it. I mean, they're quite convincing, some of them. They're getting more convincing.
Yeah, they are getting more convincing. They don't make the mistakes they used to make. They used to have so many mistakes, you could say, well, this is obviously not real.
Right. They used to have the typos. They're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist for the Detroit Free Press and USA Today. Keep up the good work. Best to the whole family, Susan.
Oh, thank you, Paul W. Good luck to you, too, as well.
Thank you much. 143 WJR. Well, I'm looking at all these stories. There are a lot of them we never got to a few days ago. Apparently, President Trump expressed the same concern that you and I are talking about, that the NFL's decision to put games on paid platforms like Netflix and Amazon Prime Video. He said, I don't like that. They could be killing the golden goose. And I think he's right.
Yeah,
for us to have to pay all these different places.
And the sad thing is the NFL is the most accessible of all the leagues. You know, I mean, you and I have been talking about these NBA playoffs where there's been a number of games just off, you know, on streaming. And so you need a whole bunch of streaming sites to watch games. But, yeah, it's going to be happening more and more to all these leagues. And I'm sure the NFL is going to be taking more and more of their stuff off of streaming as well.
I have to tell you, it's always heartening when something that we started first and it happens, and of course we'll never get credit for it, but we do make a difference. Did you see this? Now, how long ago did I start saying that we should add national to Immigration and Customs Enforcement? How long? A long time.
A number of months at least, yes.
So guess what the president has now suggested? That there should be a new name for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and he wants to add an N, so it's National Immigration and Customs Enforcement, what I suggested, or now NICE instead of ICE.
Well, all the best presidents should be listening to this show for ideas.
Well, at least their people are and stealing them. But yeah, why not? NICE. It makes sense. Now all the news media that hates ICE has to say, well, NICE said, or they'll figure out a way to get around it.
Well, and hopefully they act nice and not like the stormtroopers at times, as we
right.
say.
That should have been fixed a while ago when they got rid of some upper-level people. I think it's been fixed. Frankly, I haven't heard anything about it lately.
No news has been good news.
Yep, that's right. Reflecting pool changes worry preservationists. They'd like it to stay dark and dirty, I guess.
What color is it now?
It had no color but the dirt and the grime all of that. So he's painted the bottom called like American flag blue. I'm sure he made that up.
Right.
But it's supposed to be blue so that it will be looking pretty and blue. Anybody who has a swimming pool, if you paint the pool, the water looks pretty.
Right.
So that's what they're doing, and they were upset that he gave a $6 million
no-bid
contract, but the last guys who said they were going to fix it were over $100 million. So take the $6 million and run.
Right.
So will it be done in time for our 250th anniversary? I don't know. Still be reflecting. It'll still reflect the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah, they got that to do. Aren't they trying to build that giant Arc de Trump or whatever that's supposed to be
bigger? Yeah, that's at
the
other end, which people are not happy about. I don't know where that is. And I would like them to get the what do you call it, that they're building when they tore down the East Wing.
The ballroom.
Ballroom, because it's kind of ridiculous to see the way it looks right now. I mean, it should be either the East Wing or the ballroom. And since the East Wing is gone, let them build the ballroom. They clearly need... Having been to the White House many, many times for many, many presidents, they're jammed and they don't have a place where they can have all the people that they invite, and they'd like to invite more people.
Mm-hmm.
And this would take care of that. I saw a story in the Detroit News, the great Detroit News, DetroitNews.com. This was yesterday. Seems like a long time ago, but it was yesterday.
Time doesn't matter anymore.
Adam Graham writing in the Detroit News that Stevie Wonder, who turns 76 today, is expected to spend his birthday in Detroit.
All right.
According to organizers, throwing a party in honor of this Motown legend who is originally from Saginaw.
Right. So are they throwing a party without him RSVPing and hoping he shows up or what?
I don't really know. It's called the Love Gala, a black tie event in honor of Stevie Wonder at 7 o'clock today at the AC Hotel Detroit at the Bonstell.
Well, I guess we'll have our answer today then if he shows up.
I guess we'll have it today, yeah. And then is today supposed to be, today would also be considered, I think they're calling it officially, Stevie Wonder Day.
Oh.
And I met Stevie Wonder many years ago, and I cannot remember if it was at our FM station in New York when I was at WABC, or if it was at our FM station in Detroit after I already started at WJR. I just remember being down there in a production area, and all of a sudden I go, that's Stevie Wonder.
He just pops in.
And I knew he wasn't coming to be on WJR.
He's asking for directions to the bathroom.
Probably, yeah. Probably. Anyway, happy birthday, Stevie Wonder.
It's a treasure.
Thanks for helping Motown be Motown and for bringing us such great music.
And
anything
Paul,
else? Anything else before
so
I...
Tonight is obviously game 5 of the Pistons-Cavs series. It's here at LCA, Little Caesars Arena. And Dan Gilbert is bussing more Cavs fans up.
Oh, Dan. Well, here's hoping that the Pistons who were here the first two games are the Pistons who show up for game 5 tonight.
That's who I want to see. Yep.
At Little Caesars Arena. JR Afternoon is showing up on time. That's a train you don't get in the way of. Ryan Ermani raring to go.
I love that, Paul. Don't get in front of the train, but hop on board, right?
Yeah, hop on board. You either this came along when I was trying to avoid COVID or some other big thing that was in the news all the time. I can't remember what it was, and I said, I have to either jump on the train or get run over by it. And you'll by the train because you are the conductor, Ryan, and we're looking forward to you coming on the air after we stand by for news. Make it a great rest of the day. See you tomorrow. Regards, Paul W. Smith.